is a presentation of KSL Sports. Hello, Cougar Nation.
Who's open for three? Angle left takes it and makes it. Fusene Traore. And listen to the Cougar Nation.
Every Monday night, we break down the last week of BYU basketball and look ahead to the Cougars' prospects for the postseason. Cougar Nation. Here's BYU insider Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
What's up, Cougar Nation? Welcome in to the final show of the 2023-2024 basketball season. For those of you who have been with us since football, we thank you. And this is the final opportunity for you to call in at 801-575-8255. Obviously, we wish we were talking about a deeper NCAA tournament run. That's not the case, but it was still a memorable season in a lot of ways. And we want to know, specifically, what gives you hope for next year? Can this be replicated? Can BYU get back to the NCAA tournament next season? What gives you hope that that's possible? 801-575-8255. Mitch, I can't believe the season is in the rearview mirror. It feels like we just got started a few weeks ago and another season in the books.
It's been a wild ride for BYU, but it's been a fun season. 23-11 was the Cougars' final record this year. That heartbreak last Thursday against Duquesne in the NCAA tournament left a bitter taste to ending for this memorable season, but there were a lot of good things that transpired for BYU basketball this year, and let's look back on that in our takeaways.
Cougar Nation, takeaways. Mitch and Matt analyze BYU's last week of play and what it means for the next week.
Takeaway number one, BYU exceeded expectations despite that disappointing NCAA tournament loss. Again, 23-11 for a BYU team that was picked 13th in the preseason Big 12 coaches poll, and they finished 5th, and they got back to the dance. They didn't advance, but getting back to March Madness showed that Mark Pope's approach to this roster, he got the most he could out of this team, and I think there's a lot to appreciate from that fact that BYU was back in the postseason and playing for something meaningful in March.
And on top of that, if you would have told me, Mitch, to start the year, hey, you're going to miss Foose for a good chunk of it, and one of your top portal players, Ali Khalifa, he's going to be hobbled due to injury. Oh, and your third-string center, he's going to have hand issues, and other guys are going to be in it. Oh, and Dawson Baker, another guy that some people in the program were saying was one of the best players on the team. He's not going to play. He's going to be hurt. And you still get to the NCAA tournament. That's pretty remarkable. So, yes, it was a very disappointing exit against Duquesne. That's not how I wanted them to go out. But considering all the things they overcame, considering they were in one of the best leagues in America, they finish ahead of Kansas in the Big 12 regular season standings. That's a pretty solid year. Not a great year, but a really good year. And that is a great building block going forward, I would say, Mitch.
And last year, the final season of the WCC, that was viewed as the new year one for Mark Pope, because he acknowledged that, his first 3 years, they were nowhere close to becoming a Final Four team. He wanted to reinvent the look, the feel of BYU basketball in the Big 12 Conference era, and they basically sacrificed that final season of the WCC as a transition year to get ready for the Big 12, and they maintained most of the roster. But as you noted, there were a lot of injuries. There were, some in and outs of the starting lineup. But despite it all, they put together a season that the advanced metrics loved. They dominated in the non-conference. They did everything that they were supposed to do in Big 12 play, and they got to the NCAA tournament. Now, this is not the end game for BYU. I think there's still a feeling of year three, year four of what Mark Pope is building. There's better days ahead, and there's more to be had. But still, I think this was a big leap forward, because just a year ago, I think many people thought BYU's not even going to be competitive in the Big 12.
Yeah,
they thought, they're going to just get rolled by Kansas, Baylor, Houston. They're not even going to be in the games. BYU was competitive in every game this year. You can question the physicality. You can question the slow start, sure. But they battled for a full 40 minutes in nearly every game, and there's something to be said about that, and I think Mark Pope did a fantastic job getting the most out of this roster that he could. Takeaway number two, though, going back to the NCAA tournament. NCAA tournaments, Matt, they always lead to BYU basketball being tense. I don't know what it is, but no matter if it's Mark Pope, Dave Rose, Steve Cleveland, Roger Reed, you can go Frank Garnold, Liddell Anderson, BYU basketball in that tournament, they just cannot win in that thing. It's so frustrating. And to lose to Duquesne and the way that Duquesne lost to Illinois, just getting thumped, getting destroyed by 30-plus, I think that was made that loss to Duquesne even tougher to swallow, I would say. What about you?
Yeah, and it honestly kind of feels a little bit too, Mitch, with the benefit of hindsight now. The way they lost against Texas Tech kind of set up that loss against Duquesne. Because what Texas Tech did at the end of the Big 12 tournament, where they were just more physical, they pushed them around, they dominated the glass, they made things difficult for BYU. Duquesne just took that blueprint and did it again. And BYU didn't have a counter punch. And it was disappointing to see that happen. And I think the way that things ended in the Big 12 tournament hurt BYU a little bit, because there wasn't that positive momentum going into the NCAA tournament. And they had given a blueprint to the Dukes of Duquesne. But you hit the nail on the head, man. It doesn't make sense. It's hard to pinpoint why BYU, of all teams in college basketball, have the most first-round exits. It's hard to pinpoint because it's a different thing. There's not a common thread. This current team, they were pretty athletic. I thought from an athletic standpoint, they were on par with Duquesne. They just didn't execute in the key moments, and they got outplayed. And that's hard to stomach, knowing that, hey, you're probably a better team, and 9 times out of 10, you're going to win that game, but you didn't in the one game that mattered, a do-or-die game in the NCAA tournament. I don't know how to fix it. That's other than just continue to bring in great players and have a good style of play, which they have. It's hard to put the finger on why this has happened so often to BYU in the tournament.
Well, it doesn't help their cause that, you know, half the bracket is not available to them, and you know that's always going to be an ongoing issue. And lesson learned that even in the Big 12, when you think bracketologists are saying 4 seed, 5 seed. Bank on one lower seed line in the future for BYU, just rule of thumb going forward. But I will also add, too, Matt, that the entire Big 12 I thought was underwhelming in March Madness. 8 bids in the conference this year in the NCAA tournament, but only 2 advanced to the Sweet 16. That was Houston and Iowa State, the 2 best teams in the conference this year. But I thought Baylor was underachieving. They didn't have as staunch of a defense as in years past. Texas Tech was a little bit better than expected, but still lost to NC State, the Cinderella story out of the ACC. Kansas was a mess. Kevin McCullough was out. They lose to Gonzaga. Texas gets bounced in the round of 32. TCU lost to Utah State. Kind of a down year for the Big 12, even though the metrics say it was the best league in America. I still think it was kind of a down season for the league. And I think that's one thing to keep in mind when looking at BYU in the future, is you can't assume they're just going to naturally take a step forward, because you can't bank on Kansas being 10-8 every year in the league. You can't bank on Baylor having no defense. Those teams will restock, reload, because they are just replenished with tons of NIL money and hoops. So something to keep in mind there going forward. BYU was very fortunate this season that their schedule in the league was a little bit weaker than some of the other teams. And, you know, but still, I thought the Big 12 should have had a better showing in March Madness. I was a little bit disappointed in that.
One other takeaway on a positive note: I thought this year was a great building block for pieces that Pope can, in years 3 and 4 of his plan, that he can build around to get back to the tournament. You make a good point. The league, I think, is going to get better, and it's going to be harder for BYU to maintain a 5 seed at the end of the regular season. But Dallin Hall took a step forward. Richie Saunders emerged. Jackson Robinson took a big step forward. I thought Foos, the back half of Big 12 play, he was really good.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of guys returning. You know, look, portal season is just upon us, and as we found out moments ago, Marcus Adams has entered the portal. He'll be looking for his 4th home in less than 2 years. So anything can happen. But if Coach Pope stays at BYU and retains the majority of this roster. There's great continuity with guys that are continuing to get better. That is a good hope for the future.
It definitely is. And, you know, Noah Waterman told me at the NCAA tournament that he got his waiver. He said that he wants to be back to BYU next season. You know, Jackson Robinson, does he return? We'll get into more of what this roster could look like next season a little bit later in the program. But, yeah, the key pieces, Dallin Hall, Foose, Richie Saunders, Dawson Baker, they all could be back if they want that to be the case. You know, they all have the autonomy to choose their futures and draw up their paths. But I think BYU in the Big 12 and better NIL than people give them credit for, BYU is a pretty attractive spot, and I think they're only growing as they continue moving forward. We want to hear from you, though, Cougar Nation. What gives you optimism that BYU basketball will get back to the NCAA tournament next season? 801-575-8255. We know there's some callers lined up. We'll get to your calls coming up on the other side. We'll take our first time out and take those phone calls, 801-575-8255. It's the season finale of Cougar Nation right here on KSL News Radio.
BYU fans, join me, Tim Hughes, and Amanda Dixon for stories that affect our jobs, taxes, and families. Utah's Morning News, each morning between 5 and 9 on KSL News Radio.
Season finale of Cougar Nation here tonight. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte with you. We've been holding it down every Monday throughout the football and men's basketball season, 6 to 7, taking your phone calls. This is our first year that we've done this, and we look forward to many more. Subscribe to the podcast on kslsports.com and wherever you get your podcast. If you can't get enough of us, you can listen on the weekends, of course. Cougar Sports Saturday, noon to 3, we hold it down on the weekends here on your legacy home of the Cougars. The question of the day today on Cougar Nation: what gives you hope BYU basketball will return to the NCAA tournament next season? 801-575-8255. Matt, what say you? What gives you hope that the Cougars will be dancing once again next season at this time in March?
This might be premature, Mitch, because there's a long way to go in this college basketball offseason, which it's so weird to me that this is happening while the NCAA tournament's going on. We got this carousel. We got transfer portal. We're only at the Sweet 16. But nevertheless, continuity gives me hope. There is a common theme amongst a lot of these teams left in the tournament, Mitch. Coach has been there a while. Some of their star players have been there a while. The older you are and the more continuity you have, the better chance you have of getting back to the dance. It's not a guarantee for sure, but it is a big leg up. And next year's team, if they bring back a lot of that core rotation, and if somehow, Mitch, they can convince Jackson Robinson to come back, I'm loving the prospects because this team learned a lot. They went through a lot. They'll be better next year if they can keep that core group intact and maybe add a piece or two in the portal, and hopefully Dawson Baker gets healthy from his foot injury. But there's a lot to like about the returning players if they choose to return.
I like that, and I think the roster does potentially shake out to be better next season. Yes, as we noted earlier, Marcus Adams, the heralded forward who top 50 recruit, he's entered the transfer portal. He's going to be going on his fourth school in one calendar year. Yes, he had his father passed away. You wonder if he's a top 50 kid that he wants to get a guarantee of a starting role, more playing time. Whatever it may be, he's moving on. You know, there's always that path to coming back. We'll see what happens. But BYU's got to move forward with building up their roster. And, you know, Marcus Adams only played one game for BYU this past season. Everyone else could be returning. Jackson Robinson, as you noted, he's got a tough decision to make. They do lose Spencer Johnson, and Spencer was a solid college basketball player. I'm curious to see, you know, what if he's playing overseas. I'm sure he will. You know, I don't know. I don't think it's a NBA path potentially for Spencer Johnson, but still, he was a solid BYU player over the past 4 years. But I'm with you. I think this team can be better. You know, one thing too that they got to take care of is Mark Pope. I feel like, even though this season ended with a dud against Duquesne, Mark Pope was brilliant this year, I think, for BYU. There were times where, you know, the substitution patterns were puzzling and why are you taking out this hot hand of Trevenel or Jackson Robinson, but Still, I think the work that Pope's done, he deserves a contract extension in the 2030s. Lock him up. There's still that Louisville job out there, and it seems like that job has gone quiet. You wonder if they get to a point where they're saying, you know what, option C, option D, do we kick the tires right. on Mark Pope? Because they wanted Scott Drew. They wanted Dusty May, you know, from Florida Atlantic, and he goes to Michigan. Does Mark Pope maybe become more of an option? But the coaching carousel jobs are dwindling. Danny Sprinkle from Utah State, he goes to Washington. So it's feeling like, you know, the only jobs that if there was some movement, maybe Kentucky, if Calipari got let go. But Kentucky, if they fire Calipari and pay him $33 million, I don't expect they're going to go to Mark Pope, even though he's an alum, and Mark Pope would probably love that job. I got to imagine they would want some, you know, maybe even Danny Hurley from UConn. They would want to make the ultimate splash to replace Calipari. So I feel pretty good about Mark Pope returning. And I think Mark Pope wants to be back at BYU. I think being in the Big 12 Conference helps that cause to keep him. And he's got the personnel. And I think what's going to help their efforts to get back to the dance, Matt, is the guard line. Colin Chandler, the heralded freshman coming in from Farmington, who's served his mission the past 2 years for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, he's going to be big time. And then Dawson Baker, you have more depth on that guard line. I'm curious to see what happens with Trey Stewart. Does he go into the portal? I think he would be a likely candidate considering his role was so inconsistent this year. But I love what the options potentially are on that guard line next season, which was a big issue this season for BYU.
And it solves one of the biggest deficiencies of this year's team. Just didn't have enough ball handling, and you did not have enough playmaking. Chandler and Dawson Baker, they can get their own. That brief glimpse we had of Baker this year where he had that little spell of, what was it, 6 or 8 points, and he hit a variety of shots. They could have really used that in some of these crunch times where offense was hard to come by. That won't be an issue next year, assuming Baker gets back to 100%.
And I think Baker, you know, you always get worried about foot injuries because that could just go on and on and on.
It could really alter
his career. He's expected to have 2 more years of eligibility remaining in his college basketball career. I put up a full article on a way too early look at BYU's roster on KSLSports.com, which already a little bit out of date now because of Marcus Adams. I'll go in and edit that. But still, there's some good options on this team. You also bring in freshman Isaac Davis from Idaho. He's more of, you want him to maybe develop, and ideally he's, you know, maybe the ninth guy on the rotation. But you talk about physicality, where that was maybe lacking for BYU. He can help in that regard. He's a physical player. He's already got a pretty big body. Some people get reminded of Yoeli Childs with the way that Isaac Davis plays. But I'm also curious, too, to see, Matt, you know, which players take big leaps forward. You know, Trevin Nell, Noah Waterman, are they going to stay in the starting lineup if they return? Are they going to be, you know, taking another leap in their game? Because by season's end, I think they were kind of struggling. And I think they left the door open for Mark Pope to retool this thing and kind of reshuffle the deck on what that starting five could look like next November when they tip it off again. So the competition should be pretty fierce to be, you know, in that top five with this program next season.
Quickly, let's get out to the phone line, 801-575-8255. I think our dear friend Linda has been waiting for us, Mitch. Linda, are you there? And what gives you hope for next year?
I know it'll happen because I heard you say Noah was going to come back next year and that he has his waiver, and I'm really excited about that. And I hope Trevin Nell comes back, and I hope Jackson Robinson decides not to go to the NBA and comes back one more year too. And I also was really worried about him during Noah when he got those 2 technical fouls. And I just didn't think it was right that player got him, Andromeda or whatever his name was. But I'm glad everything's okay because I'm glad when you started, you know, when you talked about it and said and told what had happened, that he's going to be okay and everything, because I was worried about him. And I also got an early Easter present. I got an Easter basket with a bunny in it, and I named I named him Noah.
Nice.
And, yeah. And so did you tell Noah that I was on his
Absolutely.
Train?
Absolutely. Oh, we'll do that for you. Thanks for the call, Linda. Good stuff. And if they can get all those guys back, that'd be a big boom for BYU. Taking the break, news, traffic, and weather coming your way, and more of your calls after this.
Just like Cougar fans come together for BYU basketball, the community gathers around KSL each morning for important news. Listen tomorrow between 5 and 9 to KSL News Radio.
Cougar Nation keeps rolling on here on this season finale edition of Cougar Nation. We held it down during football and men's basketball. Let's just say the basketball season gave us a little more highs than than the football season did this past fall. But still, we'll be counting down the days till BYU football returns, and we'll be back in August after tonight's edition of Cougar Nation, which you can subscribe to on the podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. And this show has been fun this year because it's for you, Cougar Nation. 801-575-8255. We take your phone calls and get the opinions of you, Cougar Nation, and what you feel about these BYU teams, particularly tonight, BYU basketball. Let's get out to the phone line. Otto from Mill Creek. Otto, what do you feel like this BYU team needs moving forward to get back to March Madness next season?
They need a bruiser like Karl Malone.
You know what? If they had anything close to Karl Malone, they would be outstanding. They would be the best team in the Big 12 if they had the mailman.
Absolutely. Let me tell you, I used to work for this outfit back in 1984. There's a young man who was working there, too, and he was part of this support group for the Utah Jazz. I said, what's wrong with the Jazz is they need to draft a bruiser. So who did they draft? Karl Malone from Louisiana Tech. And as the saying goes, the rest is history. The Foos, he's 6'6". He's a bruiser, but he's getting a foul trouble going up against those guys who are 6'9", 6'10", and 11. That's why when he gets foul trouble, what's he do? Has to sit on the bench for a while, right? So BYU needs to get a bruiser who's not afraid to throw his weight around.
Thanks for the call, Otto. Appreciate it. I disagree with that take, personally speaking, because, as he mentioned, they've got the bruiser in Foos. I feel like, look, BYU has a style of play that I love. I love up-tempo basketball, and I love shooting the three. And the three-point shot, Mitch, is not what eliminated them from the tournament. What eliminated from the tournament was unable to execute in key moments and their inability to get offense in tight situations. But, like, Foos, he was 4-12 in that game. Like, he's a bruiser and he had great games. That was not one of Foos's best games. But if you have too many guys to where you're relying on the low post all the time, I don't think that's a winning formula for BYU. I think what they have is a really good foundation, and now you just need to supplement that. They needed more playmaking more than they needed more low post scoring, in my opinion.
That's fair. And you know what I do think? I love the style, the offense that Mark Pope wants to continue running with this BYU program, but I will say they need to improve shooting the three. In Big 12 play this year, they were 32.6% shooting the three. That was good for ninth in the Big 12. You compare that to Mark Pope's first year, they were 41% that season, the number one three-point shooting team in America, despite the attempts. They just had the pure percentage. And that's where I want to see BYU improve, because you know the volume is going to be there. They're going to get off, you know, 25, 30 threes per game. That's who they are, and that's what they're going to be, and I love that. But I want to see that percentage go up, because the physicality, to Otto's point, the physicality of the Big 12 did affect their three-point shooting once they got into league play. And then by the postseason, it seemed like a little bit of a tired group. And you do wonder, too, Matt, the struggles that the Big 12 had in the opening weekend of March Madness, was it so much of a gauntlet in the Big 12 that these teams were just exhausted? It might be just a theory, but I do wonder that, too, because there were no nights off in the Big 12 conference, and you wonder if it was just these legs of these teams were gassed by season's end.
I'll tell you what, too. I think this team could use another 7-footer, not in terms of a low-post scoring threat, but I feel like they didn't have great low-post shot blocking and defense. And that might not be a little fair considering, you know, Khalifa wasn't healthy. That's something we got to remember too.
Yes.
If he's fully healthy and he's in shape, because he was never in shape because his knee didn't allow him to get in shape. He basically played in the games. You went to a lot of the practices, Mitch. How often did Ali Khalifa practice?
Very rare that he practiced this season, and you just kind of looked past it because the offense was, you know, rolling and they were winning games. But in retrospect, you look at that and go, you know, what can Ali Khalifa do maybe next year as with a healthy knee, with a little bit better shape? Because he was very candid that he was not in game shape this year.
Yeah, and it seemed that way, maybe more so with the Ramadan fasting and not having the energy from not eating as much at the end of the year. But if he's healthy, that's another big body. And then maybe you use a portal opportunity to go grab another 7-footer that can play defense and be physical. I don't want a duplication of Foose's skills. That's the thing. I want Foose to thrive in that role. The other thing, too, that maybe you can upgrade if there's an opportunity, could you get a little more length at the 3-4 combination? I know you have it with Jackson and Noah, but when you wanted to go small with Trevin Nell, Dallin Hall, Spencer Johnson, you were on the smaller end. Is there a 6'8", 6'9", 3-and-D guy that can give you some athleticism? Think of Gideon George in years past to where you have some versatility with the lineups in that regard, because it felt like you either went big or you went small. There wasn't a lot of options in the middle in terms of length.
That would be a huge upgrade for BYU, and I think that's got to be an area of focus. And you know what? Personally, I want to see Mark Pope go into the portal and get some mid-major, maybe D2, guys that are looking to move up a level. I don't want the power six, you know, wandering,
yes,
hasn't found a role, hasn't found his footing in college basketball. I want some elite mid-major guy that wants a bigger stage, because I feel like as we're getting more intel on the portal, those guys just seem to provide that instant spark that you're looking for. When you're getting the third school and 4 years guy, for every Jackson Robinson, there's a bunch of dudes that just don't pan out and they don't work.
Yeah, there's a lot more Seneca Knights than Jackson Robinsons,
sure,
when you're talking third and fourth year. And the thing that I love, too, and this is what I love in the tournament, there's guys that can hit the three. Like, maybe go grab one other guard. I think BYU set a guard, but if you want to grab one more guy, grab a specialty three-point shooter that can up that percentage and put some pressure on the Trevin Nells and the others to have to work and earn their spot. I like that a lot, Mitch, and that works really well in college football, too. BYU's had success with it. A.J. Vong-Pachon comes to mind. Eddie Heckard. Like, and the thing I love about those type of guys too, Mitch, I think it's a great point, is they're going to be good locker room guys. They're transferring for the right reasons. They want to play on a bigger stage. It's not about the bag. It's not about me. They want to win and do it at a higher level. Those guys can work. You can integrate those guys with your existing guys.
And with BYU's roster next year, there's 7 guys that are untouchables. Everywhere else, if you can possibly upgrade, and I know Mark Pope is focusing on roster retention, and I totally understand that, because you want to have that chemistry continuing, and that's what kind of helped BYU in the non-conference to get off to that fast start while many teams were retooling and working out the kinks with transfers. But there's 7 guys to me that you build around this program, and that includes, you know, Jackson Robinson, if he wants to return, Foose Traore. I feel like Dawson Baker falls in that mold, because I feel like that guy has so much ability and can be a star at BYU. Richie Saunders, Dallin Hall, and then Colin Chandler and Isaac Davis. And if everyone else, you know, it's not that to knock on anyone else, but to me, if you can level up the talent, I'm considering those moves if you're Mark Pope, because you want to take a step forward. You don't want to just say, hey, 23-11, fifth place in the Big 12 is good enough. Like, next year in the Big 12, it's a 16-team league. Arizona's going to join the conference, too. Colorado's going to join. Utah, your rival, is going to join. And I don't think Utah's a threat, but still, rivalry games, BYU lost to those guys in the Huntsman Center with this good BYU team. So you want to keep leveling up. And to me, that seven is your core, and you continue to build around it. And hopefully, you know, the Noah Watermans, the Trevin Nells, everyone else is around that and working around that. But those, to me, are the top seven moving forward into next year, and then you build around them.
Mitch, let's get to our final what's trending of the 2023-24 season.
Cougar Nation, trending. What's trending up and what's trending down this season?
I'll start things off, Mitch. Trending down for me is just the physicality. We saw it take a toll. That's something they got to work on and address in the offseason. Got to be more physical against some of these teams that want to rough you up. If you have that ability to play a physical style of ball to complement the up-and-down three-point shooting, I think that would help BYU next year. What about you?
The starting five, the primary starting five from this past season, you got to imagine there's going to be a little bit of shuffling there. Spencer Johnson, he's moving on. His eligibility is exhausted. What happens with Trevin Nell? You know, Trevin Nell is a veteran, and, you know, he's expected to be back. He's part of an MBA program at BYU. Does he come off the bench next year? Is he staying in the starting lineup? What does BYU do there? It's a delicate deal, and I know Mark Pope has said all the right things about this program has just really embraced its role, but I got to imagine any basketball player wants to start. Like, I've never understood that whole, I want to be the seventh guy, and I'm cool with that. Like, sure, you want to win, but you want to start, man. Like, you want to be at this level, you want to be a starting five guy. So how does that get handled? Where does Noah Waterman sit in this rotation? So I just feel like that starting five that closed out the season, it was the most successful group, but by season's end, they were kind of struggling, and they left the door open for Mark Pope to say, you know what, I got to reevaluate this thing.
Trending up for me, experience, if you can return all those guys we discussed, they're all going to be a year older, more experienced. They've got tournament a bad taste of the tournament in their mouth, which is kind of a good thing in terms of motivation for next year. If you roll it back, you've tasted it. You know what it takes to get there. Can you level up to win a couple games in the tournament? So I like the experience of this group heading into next season.
Trending up for me is BYU established themselves as a solid Big 12 team. Are they elite? No, but they're going to be solid, and they're going to be a tough out. And we expected that the Marriott Center was going to be one of the best venues in the Big 12. They established that in year one. That's going to give BYU a great chance once again to win a lot of ball games and get back to March Madness.
Let's take our last break. If you want to get in a call before we end the season finale of the 23-24 debut season of Cougar Nation, you got to do so quickly. 801-575-8255. What gives you hope? BYU can return to the dance next season. And also maybe, what would you like the starting lineup to look like next year as well? 801-575-8255. Back after this.
Make sure you have the KSL News Radio app to stream BYU games wherever you go. You can also get breaking news alerts and podcast your favorite KSL show. All on one app for KSL News Radio.
Final segment of Cougar Nation. Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte with you. It's been a lot of fun this season talking BYU basketball, BYU football every single Monday. Big thanks to our bosses for putting together this program and giving us the chance here to be on the legacy home of the Cougars and have additional BYU programming, because I don't think there's any place better than KSL News Radio when it comes to covering BYU sports for as many decades as we've done it. I think that we're kind of standard when it comes to BYU sports. So it's been a lot of fun these Monday nights throughout this 2023-2024 season in athletics to cover BYU and hear from you, Cougar Nation. 801-575-8255 if you want to get on board with us and share your closing remarks on this BYU basketball season. You can get on board with us tonight. But, you know, Matt, the question that we've had today, what gives you hope BYU will return to the dance next season? We got that question out there, but you also teased the starting lineup. What would you like to see, maybe a way, way too early look at that starting five next year when BYU tips it off again in November?
It's a really challenging question, because the one lineup I would love to see, I just don't know if it would work, is Dallin Hall is the starting point guard. Nothing's going to change there. I think Dawson Baker is a nice fit in at two if he's healthy. So I would slide Dawson Baker in there to get some extra playmaking and shooting. At three, preferably, you get Jackson Robinson back. And I don't think you're getting him back off the bench. So he's a starter. He's the focal point. He's the star of the team. Jackson Robinson, small forward. And then this is the tricky part. What do you do with the Foose and Khalifa dilemma? And it's a good dilemma. It's just we don't know if they can coexist. So Foose, I think, has got to be in there because he's physical and provides an alternative scoring option in the low post. It's what do you do at center? Is it Khalifa or somebody else? I'll go Khalifa, but I do acknowledge I'm not sure that that starting lineup can work.
I feel like that starting lineup can work if Foose extends his range. We were talking to Mark Durant over the weekend, BYU Sports Network analyst, and he talked about how Foose has got to be a guy that extends his range to 15 feet and maybe then and more. Is it possible? We'll see, but there's got to be a way for Khalifa and Foose to be on the floor together. And I think in the previous segment, I talked about the players that BYU needs to, you know, make their foundation. I forgot to mention Ali Khalifa too. He's got to be in that mix. I think Ali is critical to how BYU operates next season. And I think Khalifa and Foose have to find a way to be on the floor together. Mark Pope was confident back in October that those two could play together, but it just never worked due to the injuries because Khalifa had the knee, and then when Khalifa was working his way back, Foose then got the hamstring, and then Foose didn't get fully healthy until February, and then Khalifa got sick, and he was out for, you know, multiple weeks. It just never worked. And then you get to the point where this is kind of what the team is. Why reinvent the wheel, to steal a quote from Mark Pope? This is what it's going to be. So, but next year, though, I think there's got to be a way to figure that out. And for Foose's sake, he's got to be able to extend his range if he wants to become a pro and play in the NBA. Because if he does extend his range, that guy could play in the NBA. He plays way bigger than his height would tell you. His wingspan is massive. We all know that. And his strength, his base is elite among the Big 12 players. But, you know, he's got to be able to knock down 15-footers mid-range game because right now it's pretty much residing in the paint. And when that went sideways on him against Duquesne, he was struggling quite a lot offensively for BYU.
And he's got to be better at finishing around the rim. There are too many games, Mitch, where he's 4 of 12 or 3 of 9. When the majority of your shots are coming within 10 feet, that's got to be at 50%. Minimum. Like the games that he was 7 of 10 for 18 points and 10 rebounds, BYU always won those games. It was the games like Duquesne where he was okay but missed a couple easy ones. They get two or three of those buckets, they beat Duquesne, Mitch. It's that simple. So it's going to be a fascinating story. And then there's Noah Waterman too. Like if he takes another jump, maybe you just go with Waterman and Khalifa, and if Waterman can hit the three, he's got some size. I mean, he certainly improved, even though it tailed off at the end. Waterman did improve. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I like the options that they have. I'm way more optimistic about this team next year than I was last year at this time, looking into the first year of the Big 12.
And I think when you look at the Big 12, you know, BYU establishing itself, establishing an identity, helps their cause to get someone talented in the transfer portal to join this mix. I thought there was a noteworthy name, Keanu Dawes, who entered the portal today out of Rice. He's a guy that's related to former BYU center Derek Dawes. He's got ties to BYU, ties to the state of Utah. Like, I always just kind of feel like when I saw him commit to Rice out of high school in the 2023 cycle, I thought, that is a soulless program. There's nothing at Rice basketball that just inspires you. BYU, despite its flaws in the March Madness tournaments, they win, and they consistently are in the mix. But so much to get to this offseason. We'll cover it all on KSLSports.com. We'll have content on the weekends on Cougar Sports Saturday. It's been so much fun, Matt, doing this on Cougar Nation. We'll have BYU football, spring ball content this week, and then we'll be back at it in August, getting you ready for another year of Cougar football here on Cougar Nation. So we will talk to you then this fall, but also on Cougar Sports Saturday every weekend here on your legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio. Thanks again, and listen to the podcast on KSLSports.com.